Global Citizen. This is Ethan from Real Life English, where every single week, it is our mission to take you beyond the classroom to speak English confidently and naturally, connect to the world, and actually use your English as the doorway to achieving your greatest dreams. All right, Thiago, so just the other day, I was re-listening to one of our podcasts that we recorded a while back about different ways to say what's up. And I was reminded that we played a really fun game at the start of that one where I tested you on some musical trivia. So what do you think if we give it another go?
All right. Yeah, sounds fun. I had a great time with that one. Let's do it again.
All right. So I'll see if I can stump you this time or if you will prevail. So I've chosen three different songs. I believe they're all from the 80s. They're all from your golden era. And just as a reminder of the rules of the game, so to speak, you have an opportunity to get 3 points for each song. So we're going to play a short clip of the song and stop it. When it stops, you should continue singing the lyric. That's 1 point. The other 2 points come from guessing the name of the song and the artist. So are you feeling ready?
All right, let's do it.
Roxanne!
I can't sing as high as Sting, but I'm gonna sing it one octave lower. You don't have to put on the red light. Dun, dun, dun. Those days are
you got
over.
It.
You don't have to sell your body through the night. This is The Police, Roxanne.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. What does that mean, to put on the red light?
That is a great question, actually. I'm not sure. I'm going to ask you to define that for me, but I get the feeling that it has something to do with sex, something sexual.
Yeah. So you might have heard of the red light district. The most famous one is in Amsterdam, but different cities have this. So the red light district is famous for prostitution. So basically, I think this is something that they used to do, putting on a red light to show that they're open for business, basically.
Right. So Sting is basically talking to this girl, Roxanne, hey, you don't have to do this, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why he says, you don't have to sell your body through the night, right?
All right. Should we go for the next one?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time.
I'm not going to guess the lyrics that come after that one, but this is Queen. Don't stop me now.
Yeah. You might know it. Maybe I can give you a hint.
Okay.
So it's an expression that could be synonymous with having a good time.
I'm going to have a ball.
Yeah. I'm having a ball.
I'm having a ball. There you go.
Yeah.
The conjugation. I missed it.
Having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
Nice.
So yeah, that's a really great expression that you listeners can use to say that you're having an excellent time. You're having a ton of fun.
Like, I'm having a ball listening to you this podcast, you know.
I'm having a blast. Having a ball. All right. So you got 2 points there, maybe two and a half. You got it after the hint. So you're at 5.5 points. Let's see if you can go for the final three. This last one I think is challenging, but maybe you're a fan. Let's see.
There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do.
The Lion. I know it ends with Africa, but the band is Toto. The song is Africa. But that line, you know, right after that part, I find something down in Africa, you know, but I don't know the line.
If I say, I bless, that's how the line starts.
I bless the rain down in Africa. Is that it?
There you go. I bless the rains down. I can't sing like that guy at all.
It's really high.
I bless the rains down in Africa. Yeah.
It's a great
My
one.
My voice like cracks if I even try to go there.
Toto, Africa. It's a great band.
Toto.
Little fun fact, by the way. The guitar player from Toto is called Steve Lukather. And he's actually the guitar player who recorded the guitars for Beat It by Michael Jackson. Yeah, Van Halen plays the solo in that song, but the riff is actually Steve Lukather playing that rhythm section, and he is the guitar player from Toto.
That's incredible. All that crossover there. Amazing. Well, I think you got almost all the points. You needed some hints, but you did well. You did well. It's respectable. Right. Well, we're going to get into the meat and potatoes, we could say, today's lesson. I'm looking forward to this one. So almost every English learner that I meet sounds a bit like this.
I need to go to the store and buy some milk.
That doesn't sound very natural, does it? Only the most fluent English learners are able to tap into the secret that helps them to sound more like,
I need to go to the store and buy some milk.
That sounds much better, doesn't it? Just the way that Thiago said there, go to the store, instead of go to the store. So that sounds a lot more like a native. And let's take a look at what is the secret that these fluent English speakers know that you don't know yet. All right, so this comes down to something that we have in English. Really, the core of it is that we have two types of words in English. They are called content and function words. So could you start out, Thiago, letting our viewers and listeners know what is a function word?
Sure. Function words are those smaller little words that go in a sentence, usually to connect the content words. What are they? They are prepositions, articles like of, in, on, a, and, the, auxiliary verbs as well, like does, doesn't, have, hasn't. These are all function words. They are there to make up the sentence, but they don't carry the primary meaning of that sentence.
Yeah, it's almost like you could understand the sentence for the most part, even taking the function words out, right?
Exactly. Yeah. They are there to maybe add the ligament, you know, the connection with the most important words.
Right. They add a bit of subtlety that gives you a deeper meaning to it. So it might add some sort of grammatical aspect or some other sort of nuances that you wouldn't get just from those content words. And another interesting point here too, you already were giving some examples there, is that we reduce these. So usually you'll hear them with a weak vowel sound, which normally would be a schwa, like an sound. That doesn't exist in a lot of languages. We've done an entire episode on this that if you are not familiar with the schwa, you should definitely check that out, because mastering content and function words, really you have to master that schwa sound first to get good at it. But we're talking about content words. So if function words are these linking words, what are the content words?
Yeah, as the name says it, they carry the main content or the main meaning of a sentence. These words are usually bigger, longer. They tend to be nouns, verbs, adjectives, and adverbs.
And then similarly to how the function words have de-emphasized vowels, so that or if sound, really closed sounds that we get because we Americans are a bit lazy, right? Culturally, and it doesn't stop when it comes to speaking. The content words always have a strong vowel sound. So it could be like an E, an A, something that requires you to open your muscles of articulation more, right?
They tend to be stressed in a sentence. You tend to stress those content words when you have a complete sentence. Ethan, backtracking a little bit, when we were talking about the function words, you said that there are two common sounds for them. The first is the schwa, right? The And what is the second one again for the function words?
Well, I mentioned you could have a schwa is most common. It's, I believe, the most common sound in the English language. But you can have a closed I. That's like a, I would represent it with an IH, I. Whereas a schwa sound I might represent with a UH, a, or an E. You could have two, which I would represent by EH. So they're very subtle, very closed. Your mouth barely moves. That's why I used to tell my students that it's lazy sounds.
Yeah, it's almost like your mouth is in neutral position when you make those. Yeah, right? You don't move much.
That's a good way of thinking of it. It's like first gear or something, like in the car, right? You're neutral in first gear and you need to get it up into a higher gear when you're going into the content words.
That's it. Yeah, there you go.
So one of the really cool things with this that blew a lot of my students' minds back in the day is that many learners say, I can't understand natives because they speak so fast. Now, some natives speak fast. That can be true. But generally, when learners say this, it's not because of the speed. It's actually because of what's happening with the function words reducing. So you're not hearing them at all. It's not like you're learning in school where they probably taught you to say each word in the sentence really fully. So we saw that example at the beginning of the episode that you said, I need to go buy some milk at the store. That's how most of us would learn in school, right? But then you get thrown out into the wild and you find out that natives don't say it that way at all. So it sounds like we're saying it really fast because we're reducing a lot of those sounds.
That is true. Yeah. I love the imagery that you just provided here. When you are thrown out there into the wild, it's almost like that, that when you have to go in the real world and then you start listening to people, they're like, oh, I've heard that so many times from people like, oh, I've studied English here in Brazil for so many years. And then when I traveled abroad, when I went to an English speaking country, I felt like I didn't know any English. I've heard that so much.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. We like to say a lot of the time that, you know, when you learn in school, it's a bit like you're taking a stroll through the zoo. But here at Real Life English, what we're trying to do is to help you to go on a wild safari, which is more like that elephant or that lion or that hippo is 10 meters away and they could decide to come at you in any moment, right? So you're out there, you're in the danger, you're facing big challenges. Things aren't always going to go as you expect, but it's important to have those experiences so that, you know, you're ready for anything.
Our main mission here at Real Life English is to create a world beyond borders. We do this by helping people speak confident English so they can become the best versions of themselves. As you probably know, we have recently created the Real Life English app with the intent of helping millions of people improve their English and connect with other speakers. And we would love for you to join us in making this vision a reality. By using our app, you help us to keep creating lessons like this for free. And you also learn tons of words, phrasal verbs, and expressions with our advanced technology. Thousands of learners just like you are already using the app to get confident, natural English. So I would like to invite you to download the Real Life English app and start using it today. Help us build the best English learning app and community on the planet. And you know what? Speaking of community, here is what one of our app users has to say about the app.
All right, so this shout out goes to Dipatnu, who says, this is the app which I was looking for on the Play Store. I found this app very interesting, and it's helping me to increase my speaking skills. This app made me much more enthusiastic to learn new words in English. Thanks a lot. So thanks so much to you, Dipatnu. It's really great to hear that the app is helping you to increase your speaking skills. And you, dear viewer, if you really want to increase your speaking skills, never forget new vocabulary that you're learning so that you can use it when you get the opportunity to speak, and so much more, you cannot miss out on the chance to check out the app.
To give another example about what you were saying before, we gave the example at the beginning, right? I need to go to the store, right? I need to go to, right? The store. We also have, for example, the sentence, I'll talk to you at 8 o'clock. But that part right there, the at 8 o'clock, you will hear natives saying at 8 o'clock. So I can speak that slowly. I can say at 8 o'clock, at 8 o'clock. I don't have to say at 8 o'clock, like really fast. But as long as you master that connection, joining those sounds, that's the key here.
And I think that is a really important building block of fluency, is getting down these word chunks, these sounds that go together, and being able to master the content and function words. And if you've never heard of this before, it could sound overwhelming. But if you practice it, you start to notice there's patterns. So you start to actually look at this in different collocations, like you just said, that if you're watching a TV series and you heard them say at 8 o'clock and not at 8 o'clock, and you're like, oh, that's interesting. They said at 8 o'clock, not at 8 o'clock. Like I learned in school. So you pay attention to that. And then, you know, it's anything that you hear like that. So it's at 9 o'clock. You don't have exactly the American tea, that Ada 8 o'clock, but at 9 o'clock or at 2 o'clock. And you can start using that in your own speaking, right? And you're going to notice all sorts of things like this. We'll talk about some more common word chunks, but I think just the curiosity to notice this out in the real world, when you're listening to a podcast, when you're watching a TV series, that's going to do wonders for you, because you're going to start tapping into these patterns. You apply them bit by bit, and before you know it, it's just going to be coming naturally to you.
That is absolutely true. It's important to develop this sense of curiosity towards the language and actively listen, paying attention. to whatever it is you're consuming. Just like just now, we were talking here, right? And you were explaining something. I heard you said words that go together. You didn't say words that go together just now, like a few seconds ago. You didn't say go together, but go together. But I heard that because I was listening attentively to the words that you were using, how you were pronouncing them. So yeah, as a learner, guys, you really want to get into the habit of being curious about the language and practicing this active listening, really paying attention to what you're hearing.
So let's look at something kind of fun, which is that when we add more function words to a sentence, the time it takes us to say it does not really change. So this is going to exemplify for you all listening or watching that function words, they really don't add any extra time to it, which is why it can sound like we're speaking really fast, because we add all these words and we say it about the same time as if it were just content words. So the example we have here is dogs eat fast. So all of you probably understood that dogs eat fast because those are three content words. They don't really connect much, right? But then let's add in some function words. So we can add in an article, the dogs. We can change the grammar. The dogs are eating fast. So I would say that the dogs are eating fast. The dogs are eating fast.
It's fascinating because the and are here, I hear that they are there when you say them, but they are very reduced, like really reduced. Like it's like the dogs are. The are is there, but almost not there.
This is why it's panicky for many learners, because you're like, there's that R there. Where did it go? You just subtly hear that sound, right?
Uh-huh.
It's there. And also eating. So I could say it either eating, which many times I would say that, but for the sake of really challenging you all, I want to say it even more difficultly. So I'd say eaten.
That is true. You did that. Yeah.
The dogs are eating fast. And I wanted to point out here too, that we mentioned that content words are usually the verbs, noun, adverbs, adjectives, right? Are is a verb, but here it's a helping verb. It's an auxiliary verb. So that's why it also gets reduced. So that can be a bit confusing. This is where you need to kind of put on your grammar hat to be able to recognize that in this case, this verb is actually a helping verb, so it's going to be reduced. Eat is the main verb, so it's emphasized. The next one, we can go another level down with the grammar and do the, what would it be, the present perfect continuous. So we had the present continuous. The dogs are eating fast. The dogs have been eating fast. And then let's go even deeper. So the dogs could have been eating fast.
The same case happens here, right? Been, in this case, is not the main verb, but it's the helping verb because eat or eaten is the main verb here. So have been becomes have been.
And I even would say dogs of, like, I connect the S from dogs. So that was another thing that was on there as a function word is verb endings or noun endings in this case, that they'll link to the function words. So dogs have been eating fast.
Cool. It's interesting because the S for dogs has a Z sound at the end, right? Dogs.
So not dog, that'd be weird, right? Docs, trying to say it, docs.
Yeah, it's because sometimes when you say the word individually, it can be tricky to guess if it is S or Z, like dogs. But when you connect it with a vowel right after, like the dogs have been eating, and then it's easier to hear, yeah? The dogs have been eating.
And that last one that was the making it a conditional, right? The dogs could have been eating fast. The dogs could have been eating fast. So there we have could have becomes coulda, would have becomes woulda, should have becomes shoulda. These are just patterns that if you don't already know about them, you want to notice because it's a morphing and a reduction there. Could have been. The dogs could have been eaten fast. That's about the same length as it, for me to say the dogs eat fast or the dogs could have been eaten fast. Because of that reduction.
I would say, Ethan, that for intermediate and upper intermediate learners, especially longer sentences can be trickier. Like, you know, the last one here, yeah? I picture a typical intermediate speaker going, look at this sentence and say, okay, the dogs could have been eating fast, like trying to emphasize everything. But the way you said it there, it's so reduced. The dogs could have been eating fast or could have been eating fast. So that's the secret. That is the secret. Learning these reductions and how they sound.
So that's really interesting what you said. I like that you said that an intermediate learner would usually emphasize each word. And a lot of learners might do that because their goal is to sound more clear for someone else to understand them, right? Up to some of these connected speech patterns.
It's true. You sound kind of robotic if you try to emphasize everything. So I would say maybe learn the reductions and the connections and articulate them the best you can. So if the reduction here is for could have been is could have been, learn that could have been, and articulate that clearly. The dogs could have been eating. The dogs could have been eating fast. You see? So you are pronouncing the reduction, but clearly, right? This is also another, let's say, challenge that I see students struggling with sometimes. When I teach them some of these connected speech patterns and reducing the function words and connecting them with the content words, some of my students, they try to speak more connected, but what they end up doing is they speak too blended, you know? They blend the sounds way too much, yeah? It's kind of an art for you to be able to say could have been, but still make it come out could have been, because if you're not careful, you can blend the words so much together that you're not saying could have been, you're saying maybe the dogs could have been, like that, you know? The dogs could have been, but that's not correct either, yeah? So you want to have that balance.
So you don't want to lose your comprehensibility there by trying to just say it fast and trying to reduce, but not really having mastered all of the ingredients that go into doing that like a native would effortlessly. And people who are watching or listening will notice that you have a lot of mastery here. For you, it comes out effortlessly. You're not having to think about it. So if I'm a learner watching this, I would wonder, Thiago, how is it that you got to the point where this was something that was effortless, that you didn't have to think about it? It was second nature.
I can share a couple of things that were useful to me in this process. The first one was music, because as you guys know, I love music, listening to it, playing it, singing it. Music is really powerful in that sense, because there's a lot of repetition involved, as we know. You repeat the same lyrics, the same chorus over and over again. And then with that repetition, the same repetition applies here too. I mean, maybe at first when you learn could have been, it doesn't come to you so naturally or so easily. But if you keep repeating that, could have been, could have been, could have been, you are training your muscle memory in a way, yeah, to get that sound. This is one thing I would say. The repetition was really useful, and listening to a lot of music and singing along my favorite songs. Maybe starting slowly, like really drilling. We call it drilling, right? You drill the sound. So you just learned here with us that could have been is could have been. So start slowly. Could have been. Could have been. And then you can start maybe implementing more words. Could have been eating. Could have been eating. And then could have been eating fast, like that. Until you get to a point where could have been eating. Could have been eating. Could have been eating, you know? So yeah, starting slowly and building up as you go, but sound by sound, you know?
It takes a lot of deliberate practice, a lot of dedication to sit down, repeat over and over again, right? But I find too, it's good to have study sessions and to actually deliberately do this. But I find that even just the curiosity we were talking about earlier and trying to always find opportunities to do this can already go a really long way. So if you're listening to a podcast, say you're in the bus right now and you heard us say some phrase and you're like, oh, that's so cool how they said that. Let me go back, like listen to that, and trying to say it to yourself a few times. If you're doing that throughout the day, anytime you're encountering some word chunk that you're like, oh, that's a really cool word chunk. Let me try that myself. Have that playfulness with it. Enjoy it. Enjoy the process. Then you are going to pick up things along the way. And that's going to go probably a lot further than if you're convincing yourself you have to sit down for an hour and drill these, which is going to have very limited effect.
That's true. Yeah, you can do that at any time. Even taking advantage of those moments, right? The resting moments. You're not doing really much, but it's those 3-4 minutes you have on the bus, for example. Do it. And be patient, because it takes time. You are learning a new skill. You are programming your brain to speak a certain way. So yeah, it takes some time to get it, but you can get it.
Yeah. So let's end up the lesson on content and function words, just talking about some common word chunks that you might encounter that reduce. There's tons and tons of these. So it's more so just to give you some examples so that you can start looking out for these yourself. So anytime you hear something, you're like, oh, that's not how I was expecting it to sound. You can pay attention, maybe go back, listen to it or watch it again, and try to pick these up and start practicing them yourself. Do you want to say the first one, Chiago?
Yeah, sure. Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it. And what does that mean if I tell you take it or leave it?
Imagine you are having a negotiation with someone. You are trying to negotiate something, and the person is really tough with you on that negotiation. The person is playing hardball with you, as we say. And then you make her final offer. After you make her final offer, you say, this is as far as I can go, as low as I can go in terms of the price. Take it or leave it. Meaning, either you accept this or we don't have a deal.
Deal or no deal, right?
Yeah.
And you gave a nice expression there to play hardball. So if you're watching on YouTube and you're like, I don't know this expression, we've used several of these today, right? That we're not defining. So you might want to check out the Real Life English app, because there you get a full interactive transcript. So you can click on any word or expression and get a definition for it. Plus we give you vocabulary flashcards to help you to never forget the most important expressions from every single lesson. So if you don't want to miss out on anything, if you want to be really as quickly as possible, amplifying your vocabulary, expressions, and so on, so that you can really take it to the next level, then definitely check out the Real Life English app. It's free to download, and you're going to really be able to enjoy the lesson to the fullest.
I love that. Enjoy it to the fullest.
Yeah. It's another nice expression, right?
Yeah, completely, right?
All right. So we wouldn't say it take it or leave it. We'd say it take it or leave it. The next one is give and take. Give and take. Give and take.
And what does that mean? Give and take?
A nice example might be in a relationship. There's a give and take in a relationship, right? With your girlfriend, boyfriend, wife, husband. Sometimes you have to compromise so that sometimes, you know, you get what you want. So there's a give and a take.
You know, I think it's worth also defining compromise, Ethan. And I'm going to explain why, but could you define compromise? You have to compromise. What does that mean?
It's a false friend in some languages, right?
Exactly.
Compromise means you find, well, there's finding a win-win that's actually on a higher level. But a compromise is basically saying, like, you want Italian, I want Chinese. And so we say, okay, let's go out for, I don't know, Spanish food. Something that's not exactly what either of us wanted, but something that we can compromise on.
I get it. Yeah, because, you know, in Portuguese, for example, we would think the word is appointment. We say compromisso. But that's not correct. That's an appointment, right? Is it the same in Spanish? A compromiso with a yes?
Yeah, there exactly.
Yeah. But no, compromise in English is this, yeah? What you just explained.
Mm-hmm. In English, it would be a commitment also. Might be an exact translation for that. I have a commitment.
Nice. Ethan, a quick question about give and take. Is it also possible, I think I've heard this before, to say give or take, but then like, oh, give or take 10 minutes.
You know, like yeah. It's like approximately how long will it take to get to Springfield? Give or take 2 hours.
Okay. So give or take or give and take. It's incredible. You are just changing one small word there and or, but the meaning changes completely.
And both of them reduce significantly, right? Give and take that you just have an N there in the middle and give or take that you just have an R in the middle. So it could be very easy to confuse those two if you hear it.
Yeah. I guess in that case, the context would help a lot. Yeah. In that specific situation.
There you go. Pay attention to the context. That's another good suggestion. Okay. The next one, worth a shot. It's worth a shot. So this is a good one because we have the article A there, which we almost never say a fully pronounced A, worth a shot. It's almost always a, which is that schwa sound again, worth a shot.
And something worth a shot is something worth doing, pursuing. Mm-hmm. It is worthwhile. You should spend your time doing this. Like, you know, guys, learning how to connect the sounds better, right? When you speak English, this is definitely worth a shot.
All right. So the last one is love him or hate him. Like you could say, your mom might say, you know, love him or hate him, he's your brother.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time. It's a brotherly love, right? Love him or hate him.
Exactly.
So here we drop the H for him, right? We don't say love him, but love him.
Exactly. And this is another interesting point that we talked about, auxiliary verbs, helper verbs, that they reduce, even though they're a type of verb. And these are pronouns, him, her, them, that all reduce quite similarly. So you have im, so love him or hate him becomes love him or hate him. Love her or hater would become lover or hater. Love them or hate them would become love them or hate them. this is important to pay attention to because you need to know who they're talking about. You might get confused if you're talking about him or you're talking about her or you're talking about them, especially with the im and the because they're so similar with him and them.
That is true, yeah. Going back to what you were saying at the beginning of the episode today, Ethan, yes, there are patterns. These are not random. There are patterns. So if you consume enough English and you pay close attention, you will start identifying these patterns. And then you will see that they happen all the time, pretty much.
Nice. So please, dear learner, if you take nothing else away from this episode, it's be curious, pay attention, always be learning when you're listening or watching something, and start to try to pick out these patterns yourself. And it's going to go a long way for your fluency. All right. And moving into finish up today's episode, we're going to talk about I'm loving this or I'm digging this. Okay. Thing I'm digging, Thiago, is the newest song by Ariana Grande. And she hadn't put out a new single other than some Christmas songs for like 3 years. Which being, she's, I believe, one of the most popular artists on YouTube, for example. So that's a really long time for a pop artist not to put out a new song.
Oh, yeah. 3 years. Nowadays, definitely.
In the go eras of the 21st century. And this song is called Yes And. I thought it might be interesting to talk to you about because it has some Madonna vibes. I'm not sure if you're a Madonna fan.
I actually am. You know, I am an 80s fan as a whole. So I do like rock music, but I'm also a huge fan of especially 80s pop music. So yeah, Madonna is also one of my favorite artists from that time period. And I listened to this song by Ariana Grande before recording the podcast. And you're right. It does have some Madonna vibes. I got some Madonna vibes from the 80s, you know, listening to that song. That was cool. But Ethan, the song is called Yes And. What does that mean? It seems like it's incomplete.
Right? Just yes and? There's something missing there, right? But this does have meaning. When I first heard the song, I thought that she was talking about something from improvisation, from improv. Mm. This is one of the rules they say of improv is that you can never say no. You're supposed to always say yes and. So if you say that you have a, I don't have anything here really I can grab, but say you had a pen and we're improvising and you say, you know, this is a broom. I say, yes, and this broom also functions as an umbrella. So I wouldn't say, no, it's not a broom, it's an umbrella. I'd have to say, yes, it's a broom that also functions as an umbrella. So it's that kind of thing. But then I actually looked up and it's not that. It's another meaning of yes and it has a question mark at the end. This is actually something that you can say sarcastically when someone is getting in your business, which means that they are asking you personal things or they're judging you. Maybe if I say something like Thiago and I are eating some hot dogs and he spills some ketchup down his shirt and you know I'm being like, I start like laughing at Thiago for spilling ketchup down his shirt. He could just say, yes, I spilled some ketchup and what's the big deal? You know, I don't really care. So it's a way to dismiss someone's judgment or someone making fun of you. And Ariana Grande has taken a lot of heat from the press for lots of all sorts of personal things, as many celebrities do, right? So she is in some way saying, you know, I am who I am. It's none of your business what I do in my personal life, and really dismissing a lot of the beef that she's getting, a lot of the heat that she's getting.
Yeah, I read the lyrics to the song, and reading the lyrics, it seems to me like the song is about self-acceptance and also empowerment. Like the song is empowering you. Her message here is to empower people to be themselves, to be their authentic selves, no matter what it is. And I guess this statement illustrates that very well. Like imagine somebody calls me, I don't know, like a short person. Hey, child, you're so short. Yeah. And, you know, so I think it's about embracing who you are, your authentic self, right? Ethan, you used a nice expression there. You said that Ariana has taken a lot of heat from the press. What does that mean when somebody takes a lot of heat?
It means that they are getting a lot of gossip, a lot of negative things said about them. So this happens, I think, to like Taylor Swift has also sung a lot about this, spoken out a lot about it. Because especially young women who gain a lot of success, they're really under the microscope for every single relationship that they have. Any guy that they're seen out in public with, mm-hmm. anything that they say or do can just come under scrutiny, right?
Yeah, come under scrutiny. We did a Taylor Swift song a while back that has that line, right?
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, people have to check out the lesson that we did on that, which we can link in the show notes.
Nice.
But why don't we actually jump into the lyrics of the song? I think it's interesting at the beginning, she says that, and if you find yourself in a dark situation, so what does it mean to find yourself in a situation, for example?
I would say this is a collocation. When you find yourself somewhere, mm-hmm. you are somewhere. It's another way to say, imagine you are at the hotel, or imagine you are at a hotel. Imagine you find yourself at a hotel. I think it's a more colloquial way of saying this, right?
For me too, it adds a degree of unexpectedness. So you find yourself in a dark situation, not because that's something you planned, not because it's something you wanted, but it's just you happen to end up in this dark situation that was unexpected.
That makes sense, yeah.
And then she says, the next lyric, just turn on your light and be like. So I really like this, be like. So, and he was like, and I was like, and we were like. So what does that mean if we use this verb to be, any conjugation of it, and like?
Is it like the filler word? Like, oh, he was like, and then you're going to say what somebody else said? Like, you know, you're going to quote someone? Is that it?
Yeah, it's just a said. It's a synonym for said. Yeah. So instead of saying, Thiago said, I could say, Thiago was like, and then he said, and then he was like.
Uh-huh. It's the same as he said. Right, or she said, right?
Yeah. It's very colloquial use of, very like almost slang use of that word, but natives use it all the time.
They do. I hear that a lot in movies and series for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it. So here she's saying, turn on your light and say. Basically, that's what she's saying, right? Exactly. And then the chorus is the message that you want to say.
Yes, and, right? Mm-hmm. Be like, yes, and. So with that upward intonation that it's a question. It's so nice that just like with two words, you can totally dismiss someone's criticism of you.
It's true. Yeah. The two words and the tone. That's all you need.
So she says in the chorus, say that shit with your chest. Say that shit with your chest. Which in this case, shit is a vulgar way that we can say instead of stuff or things, right? Mm-hmm. That you can say those things, say that stuff. So say that shit with your chest. I think that's just like say, you know, say it from your heart, which we say when we want to say that something really authentic, right?
Yeah.
You say it from your heart.
And with pride also, I think, right? Like you really own who you are. And then say yes and, like, you know, really firm. Yeah. Like
We can use that too in a romantic or a loving sense to say that something really came from your heart. So maybe it could be a gesture, it could be buying a gift, it could be a message that you wrote or a letter that you wrote to a loved one, that it came from the heart. So it's nice how we kind of use these body metaphors. But what I thought was most interesting here is the connected speech, since we've been talking about that all today, is the reduction of with. This isn't something that I believe I would do naturally, but depending on some accents, the TH gets turned into a T sound. And because the with here is followed by a your, when we have T plus Y, it becomes a ch, right? So instead of saying with, she's saying wit, and it's getting morphed into a ch, which your. So, and I think she actually says a full your, she doesn't reduce it to your, but she says, say that shit with your chest. To me, it sounds very New York. I believe she lives in New York, if I'm not mistaken. So it could be from that influence.
Right, maybe, yeah. I hear that a lot in some rap songs as well, like, hey, or rappers, you know? Hey, I'm not talking with you, like that, you know?
Yeah.
I ain't talking to you.
With you, that's another
with you, yeah. I ain't talking to with you, yeah, like that.
In the bridge, she says, protected, sexy, discerning with my time. Protected, sexy, discerning with my time. What does it mean if you're discerning with your time?
Would it be you know where to allocate your time wisely? Like you don't spend your time or you don't waste your time with people who are not worth it or with things that are not worth it. You are discerning with your time.
Right.
Like you know where to allocate your time well.
Exactly. You make a deliberate choice where to spend your time. So it's like you were saying that I believe she's saying this in the sense that I don't want to waste my time on all these haters that are saying bad things about me in the tabloids. So highly recommend, guys, that you check out the song, try to sing along with it, capture some of the connected speech that Ariana Grande does so wonderfully, and use it to live your English a bit.
Yeah. Oh, and watch the music video. It's quite fun.
And dear listener, remember that if you are enjoying these lessons, a free way to support us, doesn't cost you a thing, is to head over to your favorite podcast player and to leave us a 5-star review. So leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else you're listening to this that gives you the option to do that. This really helps us to reach more learners so that they can also take their English to the next level with us. You can also subscribe to us over on YouTube. Make sure you hit the bell so you don't miss a single new lesson, and give this lesson a like. Again, it just really helps us to reach more people, and it helps YouTube know that you want more content like this. And of course, remember that if you are not yet using this on the Real Life English app, it's a great way to take your English to the next level by following along with the transcript, being able to click on any word that you didn't understand, and getting vocabulary flashcards that help you to never forget the new words and expressions that you're learning in each episode. And remember that no matter what divides us, that which unites us is far greater. 1, 2, 3.
Aww, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend, or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.